Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support for the morning show also comes from Carthage College, welcoming astronaut John Harrington, the first Native American in space, to the campus of Carthage Saturday evening, April 22nd at 7 p.m. for a presentation titled Living Your Dreams. The event is free and open to the public. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today marks the monthly visit to the program of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And we have a couple of Gateway students who are with us as well, who are representatives of Gateway's student government. And this is a really exciting opportunity for us to connect with a couple of Gateway students and find out about this really important facet of what happens here at Gateway. So we will officially name them and welcome them in just a moment. But first, President Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. Yesterday was not exactly a run-of-the-mill day, was it?
This entire week, I think, has been kind of sort of off the charts, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm still smiling. I smile every time I think about the experience of hosting President Trump at Snap-on and the role that Gateway was fortunate enough to be able to play in that process. And it doesn't end after the program this morning. We'll be heading to Milwaukee to tape a television show that'll be aired on Sunday about Gateway's impact in the local economy. And we were interviewed a couple of times yesterday by media out of Milwaukee, and our students have been in the paper. And so, yes, it has been a really fun and rewarding week for celebrations of Gateway.
So take us behind the scenes of what transpired on Tuesday afternoon. I mean, at what point were you on site at Snap-on, and what sort of a scene was it?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure from some of the pictures that people have probably seen, or if you were in Kenosha last week or on Thursday, you would have witnessed the helicopters and so on. So it was kind of a unique entrance that the president made. I actually was notified last Thursday, so before the holiday break, and Nick Pinchuk, the CEO for Snap-on, called me and asked if I would consider being a part of this event. And so I was really excited and honored that Gateway was recognized by Nick, first of all, to be a critical element of the success of what he believes Snap-on brings to our community. And in that process, we identified students through the Secret Service and the White House, and they narrowed it down to four students. So we ended up with four terrific young men out of our automotive program. And the link there, of course, is Gateway has a terrific partnership with Snap-on in automotive training, and we award certifications to our students here at Gateway, but also certifications to college students across the country. And this year alone, over 89,000 certifications have been issued, and Gateway's a really critical element of that success for Snap-on. So all of the events took place over the holiday weekend. We got everything in order, and so when the event started to fall into place, I actually arrived at Snap-on Tuesday morning. It was probably around 9 o'clock, and it was already a buzz. The parking lot was already full, and Secret Service was doing their work, and of course, all of the protocols were put in place for that. So we had a room over at Snap-on dedicated to Gateway, and several of our staff members came over, and then our students arrived. And once our students arrived, we were sort of sequestered, and all four students and myself were taken by the team of the White House and briefed on what was going to happen, and gave us a behind-the-scenes tour of the events itself and the tour that the president went on. We walked it first. So pretty exciting the whole time, and designated seats right up in front, so we were close by. And then toward the last 15 minutes or so, the helicopters were flying over the Snap-on's headquarters, and everybody knew something was about to happen. And the fact that he flew in Air Force One to Milwaukee and took a Black Hawk helicopter over to Snap-on and dropped right in, kind of a James Bond type of feel, only created to the excitement. And then I sat right behind Nick Pinchuk in the second row, and I saw our students walk up and stand right on the edge of the stage. And when the president came out and our students walked up on stage at the same time, it just gave me such a great sense of pride. The president's presentation and the focus that he mentioned Gateway Technical College, and actually I was very proud. He kind of gave a shout out to myself as well, which was really a kind gesture. But when they signed the executive order, and our students were there, and the pen was given to one of our students, Michael Brosey, and I just saw the sense of pride that our students had to shake the president's hand and be a part of that historic moment. that was really something that sort of really encapsulated all of the hard work that went in over the last 4 days.
That's great. And you mentioned when we had our brief interview Tuesday morning that this is actually the third time you've met a U.S. president.
Yeah, when I first came to Gateway, actually, we hosted President Bush over on the Racine campus. He was on his campaign tour, but yeah we had high interactions with Secret Service on that event as well. And then during President Obama's tenure, I actually met him a couple of times. Once when he was running for president for the first time, he was on our campus, on the Racine campus, and we filmed some television commercials for him at that time. And then his real focus over the last two or three years of his presidency was on the important role of America's community colleges in the National America's College Promise Initiative, and Gateway launched a promise program. And so I was invited to be a part of a delegation in La Crosse when he was there, met him there, and then toward the last month or so, invited to the White House to do a presentation for the staff there on our great partnerships with our corporate partners. And Jim Ladwick from SC Johnson attended with me, and we shared our story at the White House. So, yes, President Trump would have been the third dignitary that I've had a chance to interact with.
Wow. Well, it was a big, big day, that's for sure.
Yes, it was.
Let's talk about a couple other big days coming up, including a big grand opening here at Gateway that I know that you are excited about.
This is one that we've been working on for several years, and I'm so proud to be able to say that next Friday, April 28th, at 10:30 in the morning, inviting our community to this, we will cut the ribbon on the new Kenall Protective Services Training Center. That's our brand new law enforcement training center. That includes a simulation center, a tactical lab, a gun range that is state-of-the-art, very, very creative space, and classroom facilities that are just so in line with what is needed today to help provide the most appropriate training for our law enforcement officials. And could not be more proud of the effort that our teams have put in to make to this week possible, and for the support that our community has given now to our students that will go into these very, very important careers in law enforcement. And it's just a prideful moment again for Gateway to be a part of that community engagement.
Excellent. Tell us about some really exciting numbers involved in this Gateway Promise program that I know many of our listeners have heard about. This seems to be really taking off.
Yeah, this is an important time of the year as students are graduating from high school or getting ready to graduate in the next 2 months or so as they begin to think about their post-secondary careers and what Gateway Technical College might have to offer. So we've been working very diligently since a year ago February launching the Gateway Promise program. It is a program that is what we call a last dollar program. Students, after they apply for federal financial aid, and if they meet some other qualification factors, if they cannot afford to fund the rest of their tuition, our college foundation has established an endowment with all private sector donations to cover the cost. So essentially free community college or technical college education. And we have over 200 students that have qualified in this first round. And they will be on campus beginning later this summer in June to go through what we call a bridge program. 3 weeks of intensive indoctrination to what it's like to be a college student, a little remedial work to get them ready for some of the academic preparation, but most importantly, for them to meet people on campus, feel comfortable about the campus environment. And I wish we could do that, and hopefully we will do more of that for every student that attends Gateway, because there's so much to offer, and your time is so short, as you'll hear from our students today, that you don't always get a chance to experience all that Gateway has, and the Promise Program is helping to build those bridges.
Just a couple other things before we get to our two special guests in the studio. Yet another award that Gateway has won. Tell us about that.
I was at the conference. It was a surprise to me. I did not know this, but the Wisconsin Association for Career and Technical Education. So this would be the state association for technical fields. And we had a delegation that attended the state conference, and they announced the chapter of the year. So probably the most progressive campus for activities. And that association for Gateway actually does a lot in fundraising to help provide emergency scholarship funding for our students. And this Saturday is our Earth Day celebration on campus, and the funds that the State Association for Career and Technical Education and the Gateway Association raised during that event go toward emergency funds. So Earth Day is a part of this award as well. And Rachel Chrisman, who is the chapter president, does a terrific job of representing us. And really, I was so excited and proud to see the state award being issued to Gateway.
Terrific. I know you want to kind of give a shout out to a number of different student organizations that are actually traveling right now.
Well, we have, Greg, we have 44 student organizations at Gateway. So there is something for everyone. One of them is our United Student Government, which we'll hear more about in a minute here. But we have a delegation right now, a team of competitors in Orlando competing in the National DECA competition. And, you know, just all different entities have a chance to compete, to demonstrate their skills, to work with community members, to earn recognition and awards, and it really helps to enhance their portfolio and hopefully make some great business connections and align themselves up with some great careers afterwards.
Very good. Well, for those of you just joining us at 21 minutes past the hour, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and for today's program, President Albrecht has brought with him two Gateway students who are both representing student government. Say a word about why you thought this was important to do.
Well, you know, so there's many different elements to managing or participating in leadership around a college environment, but the most important is the focus on students. And so we have a very active student government component to Gateway, and I try to find as many opportunities as I can to be involved in their activities, which you'll hear about, but more importantly, seek their advice and guidance. Hmm. What are the types of things that would be interesting and valuable and what students would find of a unique resource that we could provide? So a lot of the activities that I've already mentioned and that you would see around campus have a direct reflection to the feedback I'm receiving from our United Student Government. So that's really a critical component to the leadership entity of Gateway Technical College. It also provides an avenue for students to have a voice. So the events that we hold on campus that we call student life events, guest speakers, things like that, are also recommended from student leaders. And some are through club activities and some are through United Student Government. But it really helps to round out the sense of responsibility and I would say ownership in what takes place at Gateway. So United Student Government is a key piece to our overall philosophy around engaging all members of our community.
Very good. So we're happy to have both of these students with us. Pedro Nunez and Kristen Daly. We're glad to have both of you here. Kristen, let's hear from you first. Tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from originally, and what you are studying here at Gateway.
Well, yes, my name's Kristen Daly, and I was originally born in Woodland Hills, California, but we moved to Racine very shortly after that. Like, I was like 1 year old when we moved back. My parents are both from here. I'm biracial. My mother's African American, and my dad is white. My major is criminal justice, and yeah, that's me.
This morning she told me she was so excited for the opening of the Kennel Protective Services Training Center, and I just think that's so great when our students are excited about some of these new program changes that we're making. So maybe just a quick comment, Kristen, a little bit. So what types of things do you study in criminal justice? What could people expect to learn if they went into that program?
So with criminal justice, you actually have so many options. It's not just law enforcement. There's private security. There is the potential to go into politics. There's a lot of stuff with criminal justice. It's one of those programs where if you get bored easy, this is a good one because you'll never get bored. Mm-hmm. I have ADHD, so I'm like, okay, I need to do something. Give me something new. I master that. Let me master something else. And so with criminal justice, it's awesome because there is the investigative level, you know, the investigating. But then there's also the firearms training, which I'm really excited about that. There's the self-defense things and the way you communicate with, you got to be able to communicate with criminal justice and law enforcement. You got to communicate to a diverse, you know, you have to be able to talk diverse. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's one of those programs that really, it's just, there's so much to do.
Right. And what are your specific aspirations, or maybe you don't even know yet what you're hoping to do once you're done?
So I do have a little vision. Mm-hmm. I actually would like to be ultimately a judge or a politician, but my immediate career goal upon graduating from Gateway would be to be a police officer for Racine.
Very good.
I'm so proud of that. When you think about the important careers that Gateway provides training in, and Kristen, her goal is to provide leadership in our community in an elected position or a judge, and to know that she's going to be protecting the neighborhoods of our community as a police officer, and that training happened here at Gateway, and then hopefully some of the things that we're doing here have had an influence on you, and it's just such a unique role that colleges like Gateway play, and Kristen, just a great example of what you can do.
Excellent. Pedro Nunez is our other student. We welcome you. Tell us where you're from originally and what you're studying here at Gateway.
Well, thank you very much, first of all, for extending this invitation. As you mentioned, my name is Pedro Nunez. I'm in the supervisory management program. This is my last semester here at Gateway. Unfortunately, I'm going
to
miss it.
Wait, that smile looks pretty big. He's pretty happy to be graduating.
I also enrolled into Carthage College. So I started Carthage College. I won my my MBA. I want to get a master's in business administration. So that's my next goal. My career path, I just opened a business. So I'm the proud owner of a Mexican restaurant here in Kenosha. Oh. And
congratulations,
yes.
Pedro.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's it called?
It's called Pedro's. Pedro's. And yeah, I wouldn't be there without our Gateway education, without all the education that I received from here, from all my instructors. I am really grateful and I really appreciate that.
What another exciting example of what Gateway can do to help support. And the fact that the entrepreneurial side of you had a chance to grow and flourish, certainly the supervisory management in you know, starting your own business, that's pretty exciting. And the transferability to go to Carthage, and many of our programs have those options. You can start your own business, be an entrepreneur, accelerate your career with some different skill training, or transfer onto a four-year degree, or even broader than that, a master's degree, an MBA. Pedro, I'm very excited for you, and really glad you're a part of the program today.
That's cool. So has the restaurant opened its doors yet?
We opened our doors last Friday. Last Friday was our first day.
All right.
Where is it? It's in Kenosha, right?
It's in Kenosha. It's here in Kenosha. It's on Roosevelt Road and 23rd.
Okay. I'll have to get there for lunch.
Well, congrats on all that, and again, welcome to both of you. So, Kristen Daly, tell us what seemed right for you in terms of choosing Gateway Technical College. In what way was it a good choice for you personally?
So I actually started my college career, I guess, right out of high school. It was a horrible start. I started at Parkside, and I wasn't ready. I went and stayed in the dorms. I had just been diagnosed with ADHD and bipolar. I was still on trial and error medications, and I completely flopped. I just wasn't ready. I dropped out, got pregnant, had two kids, worked some service jobs for, you know, I worked everywhere from Taco Bell to restaurants here to the hardware store there to the Walmart over there. You know, I did everything I could. And during that time, I was also very lucky to have time to explore hobbies. And so I got to explore my hobbies or whatever, but I knew eventually, you know, I'm like, I got to go back to school. Basically, none of the jobs were allowing me to grow without an education. And so I'm like, oh, I got to go back to school. And I really didn't know how and, you know, where. And I remember my mom saying, why don't you go to Gateway? And I was like, oh, Gateway is not. It's not even a university. She's like, yeah, but no, you should try it. And I'm like, okay. So I went to student services, and I saw about, you know, getting in, and I was just welcomed. Like, from the moment I walked in the door, like, I just had people welcoming me, and it was just so, like, I just felt like home, I guess. And because it seemed to be like a smaller environment, you know, unlike the universities, it was like I had a family from like day one. It was the same people at the desk, the same, you know, everything was just so close that I felt like I had a spot there.
I think that's a terrific story. Many people have just some, you know, a stuttering start to get going. They don't know exactly what to do after high school and try different jobs and have to try to explore and find things. And many try universities, environments, and it doesn't always fit well. It might be academic preparation or just, you know, the different surroundings and environments. And so your story is very similar to many paths that students take early on in their career and later in life. They could be 40 or 50 years old and coming back to really find what passion they have in the career that they take. And I think what's really great about your story is that you found like you're a part of a family here and that it felt like a smaller environment. And we work really hard on trying to make sure that our class sizes are small, that our students have a chance to interact with instructors, get to know the instructors so they become really acquainted and engaged in the program. But just to remind everyone that Gateway serves 22,000 students. It is larger than most universities.
Right. I mean, that's the irony there.
But the focus is to make sure that it feels small so that every student is embraced.
Hmm. So it sounds like that was one of maybe a few pleasant surprises for you at Gateway.
I mean, of course, it's more affordable and everything else that comes with it. But after the bad experience I had with the university, it was just refreshing. It was like cool water when you were in a desert.
And I have to agree with Kristen. You feel like a family here. Everyone welcomes you, and it's just a perfect, great place to start a career.
Great. Mm.
So, Pedro, what would you say are the most significant things you've learned here that are going to really pave the way for what you're going to do from this point on? What's been most significant?
Well, there has been several things. Other than just what we do in the classroom, many of the activities that we have here. For example, when we get guest speakers, we just had one not too long ago about financial literacy, and I really learned a lot from him. Other than that, in the classroom, of course, all my instructors have been great. I can't complain about any of my instructors. Everything that I learned in the classroom I will be able to apply at some point.
Did you start in the supervisory management program, or had you taken other classes before that?
No, I did. I started in the supervisory management.
Supervisory
program.
Management. That's terrific. Correct. And so was your career goal always to start a restaurant? I mean, what's entrepreneurship?
Well, my dad has always been in the restaurant business. Okay. We've owned a business for quite a long time, but it was just catering. We just expanded now to the restaurant. We used to have a restaurant before, but it didn't really work out. So now that I have more experience, that my dad gained more experience as well, that's why we decided to go into this adventure.
Sure. I find this really exciting that your dad had an influence and Kristen, your mom had an influence. And I think it really helps to resonate the fact that Gateway is a local college that people have had multiple different experiences with. But one thing that I would be interested in is if you think about the classes that you took in supervisory management, how has that helped prepare you now for this really great experience or opportunity to start your own business?
Again, I've had mainly three instructors for the program. All those three instructors have been great. I think one of the classes that I really took the most out of it was continuous improvement. My class of continuous improvement has taught me that you can't be stuck on the same place forever. You have to keep moving forward.
Hmm. I think that's a good advice for all of us in everything.
Yeah, no matter what we're doing, right? For sure. Pedro, you are an officer in Gateway's student government. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that and if anything in particular prompted you to want to get involved with that.
Well, actually, I started as a peer advocate. I started as a peer advocate 2 years ago. And Lindsay, she is the advisor for the student government. She asked me to join, and I said, yes, of course, I would love to join. And that's how I got into student government.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how student government is set up here at Gateway. Is there one sort of governing body, and how large is it, and how does one become part of it?
We currently have
They're actually like we're in the process of changing our constitution. So whereas there used to be a president, a vice president, like an executive committee over all of the campuses, and then there was vice presidents for the campuses. Now we are student leaders, and then there will be executive student leaders, and the group, I believe, is 13.
And we just actually voted on this, and it passed, so I'm glad it happened.
So you have representatives from each of the campuses,
yes,
that all work collectively together on behalf of the entire Gateway District.
Correct.
Yes. Each campus is allotted because, like, whatever the population is, you're allowed so many representatives.
Sounds like our federal government.
Yeah,
right?
A little bit, absolutely.
Just like it. It's just like that. We have representatives here in Kenosha, Elkhorn, Racine, Burlington. So we all have our district, I guess.
We just had elections.
We just had elections. So.
New elections. Everything was, it's a self-nomination. So if you're interested in it, we're in month of April. So what's the month before April?
March.
Thank you. I'm a little nervous. But so March 31st was the deadline to self-nominate yourself. And it's actually a really easy process. It's all done online on our GTC website. Any student can self-nominate themselves. We just had, you know, we just write like a small paragraph or a statement, you know, so that other students can read. And I think you submit a professional picture so other students can see what you look like. So it's actually really easy to get into around March. Beginning of March to the end of March is when those things come up. So if anyone's interested, they can look forward to that. And there's also, if you're interested in being a leader, you can come to our student government meetings all through the year. And actually, if someone happens to drop out or doesn't want to pursue it, there's an opportunity for stand-ins.
Ah, okay.
And we as students, we get to vote on the new and the new officers.
Christian, before you came to Gateway, had you thought that you were even going to do anything like this, or is this, you know, kind of a surprising element?
I always wanted to. Like, I was one of those kids who, I mean, I told you guys I was diagnosed with ADHD and bipolar, but that wasn't until later in my life. So a lot of my beginning, I was very uncertain and very unsure. I didn't really know how to express myself and how to accept myself. And I was always one of those kids who wanted to run for student government, but just didn't think that I could do it. I just wasn't confident in myself. So I would just kind of watch. But, you know, I was always, I knew when things were wrong and I wanted to speak up. And some, you know, as I got older, you know, sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. I learned from times when I didn't. And I was just like, you know, I really should have spoke up and said something or, you know, something like that. I felt it, but I wasn't confident in myself always. And Gateway actually is what made me confident in my leadership.
I'm really proud to hear that. You think about sort of the transition of your life where you were not confident going into now a profession that you need to be the most confident in, law enforcement. And so I just think it's really great to see how you've grown and how not only your coursework and your programs, but now the extra activities like United Student Government have been able to give you some ways to demonstrate that and really practice those leadership skills.
Right. And, of course, for what you have, what you're thinking about for your own future, this is a wonderful enhancement then, isn't it?
Yes. It's for me, it's like it's the start of the ladder, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is like my first few steps. I mean, it's a big step, though. The more I think about it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm really not that far away. Like, I'm not far away from my goals. And all of the workshops and things that I've been a part of is really helping me see it. I came up with I have a board of directors now. And I actually wanted to talk to you about possibly you being on my board of directors because I have a female head. But I would like to have a female and a male kind of like a parent type, you know, for advice and things like that. But yeah, the workshops, oh my gosh, they're like amazing. I mean, I was taught a lot of stuff growing up. My parents were really good at teaching me things. And I had, you know, I've had lots of great mentors in my life. So the workshops really kind of solidify kind of the things people have been trying to teach me. You know what I mean? It's like, because you catch some of it, but you don't always catch all of it. So it's just amazing.
And nothing like doing it yourself and practicing, right? So it is great to hear from others, but the best way to learn is to do it yourself, and that's why hands-on learning, you know, the laboratory experiences we have here, the leadership events that we provide for students are all something that just not only helps to well-rounded education, but gives you a chance to build that sense of confidence through experiential learning.
Absolutely. Pedro Nunez, maybe you can tell us about some of the activities that the student government provides for Gateway students and, for that matter, Gateway's students' families as well. What kind of activities can the student government take credit for?
Well, let me start with my two favorite ones.
Uh-huh.
First, dinner and a movie with Santa. I mean, we
That's
welcome
my favorite
the whole,
too.
Yeah. Yes, we welcome the whole community here, students, staff, guests. It's where we bring Santa Claus and you can take pictures with him. We'll buy dinner for you. We'll have something for lunch. My other second favorite activity would be Summer Sunfest. That takes place in Racine, in the Racine campus, and we have several different activities for everyone. Last year we had a huge slide that you just walk up there and throw yourself down.
The blow-up slide.
Yes.
And the soccer, you remember the soccer?
The soccer was really fun.
So we, put on suits, bubble suits.
Yeah.
And then you try to play soccer. And really, it just turned into, you running into the person wearing bubbles because it's, then a wrestling match. But
yeah,
it was fun.
It was really fun. Other than that, we also offer
there's always stuff even if the students come in for free, but there's always things too open to the community for a smaller price or something. Usually it's a requested donation or something. But yeah, those the Summer Fun Fest and Santa movie and dinner
Santa
movie
with
is like
Santa.
The bomb.
Because
then a guy comes and they do the, what is it? I'm lost for words. But when you do the balloons, and then we'll do face painting, and then there's, last year at Summer Fun Fest, we had the cartoon painter or drawer guy.
Artist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cartoon artist. That's the word. But yeah, those ones are the best.
Yeah,
they are.
Let me take advantage of this opportunity. We're also having a driving movie coming
April
28th. April 28th. So we would like to invite the whole community to join us. I believe it's a $5 donation per car. If you're a Gateway student, it's going to be completely free. So please join us.
And where will
that
be?
10 per car.
It is going to be here in the parking lot of the Kenosha campus.
Yeah. And
what are you going to be showing? Did you say it's a movie night?
Yes, it's a movie night. We're going to be showing
Mona and Doctor Strange.
Sounds like a good one, especially
yes.
outdoor theaters. Those are always fun.
Yeah.
I just want to make a comment. You can tell the enthusiasm, all the activities, the excitement, the kind of the student life component to what United Student Government brings to the campus, something to do all the time, guest speakers, just a lot of really good educational programs as well as good family programs to support students in many ways. But another critical role, and I want to thank Pedro for this, is they also help oversee some of the financing for the funding that students provide to Gateway through the District Activity Board funding. And so this year, with the support of United Student Government, we'll be adding fitness parks on campus, walking paths, really the investment in the new Student Center on the Kenosha campus and Rudy's Nest Activity Center. So it's really a way that students can have some control over how the facilities and how the grounds can respond to the needs of students in all different ways, not just the once in a semester activity, but throughout the entire career at Gateway.
Yeah, and take some ownership of it,
right.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So where does student government get its money in order to fund some of these activities?
We have a committee, DAB. So we request our funding from DAB, which is when a student enrolls into Gateway, part of that tuition goes into this funding, and that's where we get the money for all these activities.
Right. So student activities are controlled and managed by the students. They have direct impact and some say in how that funding is spent. And Pedro's exactly right. There's a portion of the tuition that's set aside for students to provide the types of experience that they feel are most important to them.
Hmm.
So we don't determine whether or not FunFest is going to have a balloon artist or a cartoon artist at all. Students decide that.
They decide that.
Right.
Christian, what do you hear from Gateway students in terms of the impact of having these kind of activities? I mean, on the surface, it just all sounds like, kind of fun and games and maybe doesn't sound like a big deal, but I suspect For the students here at Gateway, it is a big deal to have these kind of things going on.
Yes, it really is. It does a lot for us because everyone knows it's hard for a college student money-wise. And so especially at Gateway, you have such a diverse, population. We're not just young kids. There's young kids. There's old kids. there's families. Mothers, fathers, some of us are working full-time jobs, part-time jobs. There's we're all so busy and money is all so tight. So when we're able to do these things, it really means a lot to us because it's something that wouldn't have been able to do without that. I mean, the closest, like, Summer Fun Fest that I would have to take for like face painting and things like that, I would have to take my kid to a fair or something like that. Usually, like, what, like Pancake Day does it or something. Mm. But then you have to pay a fee to get in. Then you have to pay just for the face painting. And all of this stuff is free when we do this. It's all free to the students. And it's just, it's so important because we're working so hard and we're investing in our future. And we don't have the money to always invest in our fun. And fun is so important with that. Like, you can't just work and nothing else, because you won't, you know, you'll burn out. And we don't want anyone to burn out. We want everyone to feel included, and we want to be able to have that downtime, you know. And then when we get together and we get to know each other, break, you know, like, no barriers, and you're just letting loose, it just means so much.
Right.
I think that really summarizes what our purpose is here. I think you've really captured something there. The idea of going to college doesn't necessarily have to be just about yourself going. Your entire family, your support network are all a part of that journey with you. So the time that you have to spend studying is time that you're not spending with your children, or the time that you, or the money you have to spend on college tuition or books is money that you're not going to be able to spend on going to the local fair. And I think anything that we can do to help assure our students that we're here for them in many ways, including academic success, but also personal and family success.
Hmm. Pedro, how much of what student government decides to do ends up being generated by the suggestions of students, whether they're in or outside of student government?
Well, United Student Government is always open for suggestions. Again, continuous improvement, right? So we're always open for suggestions. If you have a great idea, please let us know. Let your officer on campus know of the idea that you have. We end up using about 50% of what we hear, what the students want to do. And unfortunately, we would use 100%, but there's not enough time to do everything.
Right.
I
think an interesting part about that is the leadership component to United Student Government that happens to all of the officers, so that they're ready to make these decisions. Because you're right, it's hard to tell somebody their idea is not going to make it to the top of the list. And,
right.
And so maybe you could describe a little bit about the leadership programs that you go through in the summer, and I think the effort around identifying individual strengths and the types of things that you do to prepare for these leadership roles.
So what we do in the summer, we usually have a retreat where the United Student Officers, we go and we're there for 2 or 3 days and just planning all the events, all the ideas that we have, all the ideas that we've heard from other students.
It's like a huge brainstorm.
Yes, it's a huge brainstorm. We spent a few days doing that pretty much all day.
It's a call to retreat, but it's exhausting, actually.
It is exhausting.
It is. But, yeah, if you do have any ideas, like Pedro said, just you got to just open your mouth and say it, you know, and someone will be listening. You'll be surprised, but someone will be listening. So,
And you never know. It might be something great that we haven't thought of before.
And even if, like, we can't do something, or, you know, it gets on the list, but it can't be. That's why it's such a great idea for people to get involved and other students to get involved. Because I was just newly elected for this new year. But after that, I'm going to be gone. And so who's going to carry that torch? Mm. You know what I mean? What ideas, you know, would you like to pursue? I mean, I'll be pursuing some things, but... You know, what's the next person
right.
going to bring to the
table? And I bet
table?
It gives you a great opportunity to really get to know your fellow officers in United Student Government, so you build that bond and you build that synergy, so that the rest of the year, you know, when decisions have to be made or, you know, events need to be planned, you know who you can count on.
Mm. We became a family.
Yeah.
We became a family.
Nice.
My school family, I like them better than my real family.
Sometimes. I'm listening now. Be careful.
Oh, geez. Sorry, Mom, Dad.
Kristen, how much do you have Gateway faculty and staff involvement in what goes on with some of these student government activities?
Wow, a lot. A lot. So we have the advisors who have to, they're like the advisors. So they have to oversee all of the events, and they have to be a part of all of that. And they're there for kind of like also like legal aspects. If we want to do something and we need to know, like, can we do this? Because, you know, we're an institution, so we do have some laws to follow.
Sure.
So they check things like that. We have two advisors, but we have so many members of staff that are like get involved in this. It's amazing. There's leaders as students, and then there's leaders as staff. And you can really kind of tell, like, you know, there's some that just go really hard into their teaching, and then there's some that go really hard into their teaching and they go really hard in their, like, it's not student life for them, staff life. I don't even know what to call it, because I don't know what to call it, because they don't really get paid for it, but they do it. Staff can be advisors over clubs and things like that, and we get a lot of support. The staff wants to know what's going on too, so when we say, hey, we've got this, you know, they let us do speeches in our class to let people know what's going on. They're always asking me, hey, what's new going on? And then I get to stand up and tell people, and then we just get, you know, we get so much support from the staff. We really do.
It's really great to hear, because I think it is important that our students have the opportunity to demonstrate their leadership skills in many ways. One would be, of course, a United Student Government meeting, but beyond that, how does it affect the programs, and how do you get to let more students know what's taking place, and so that synergy between the student leadership and our staff and faculty leadership is really critical. And in the college environment, I mean, that's really what people thrive on, right? How can we support each other in many different venues? And you see each other because you're on campus, so you're in the hallways, you're out in the parking lots, you're, you know, at the events together. So let's try to find a way to really build that synergy and let everyone enjoy their experience while they're here at Gateway.
Nicely put.
I would just like to add, some of our instructors actually give you extra credit if you attend one of these events. So that's actually another way for them to be involved.
Yeah,
in this.
They work really well with, too, if you're unable to make class because of an event. Well, really, it's the other way around. It's like you want to make the event, but class comes first. But so a lot of times the teachers work with you on that. They do really a great job.
Yes.
So, Pedro, you are about to graduate, is that right?
I am.
I'm excited. And you said, although when you told us that, you said, you used the word sad. I mean, so in other words, there's part of you that's sad about this Gateway career coming to a close. Just talk for a moment about that.
Yes, again, I became very attached to this place. I made a family. I made a new family here. I feel welcome. I feel that I don't want to leave, but the show must keep going. Must move on, right?
And you know what's really great about that? Because our students graduate, they stay in our community, they provide leadership in our community, and we invite you back. Advisory committees for our programs, all of the events that we just talked about for the last 40 minutes or so need community involvement, community engagement for that. And to really be strong advocates to help others in our community know that there is a path for them, and Gateway's here to help support that path.
So you might not be as done as you think you are.
Yeah, we've got big plans, right?
we might need you to cater.
Of course. Alumni Association,
right.
Please be active in that.
Kristen, how much is left in your own career here at Gateway?
So I have just finished the semester. I have 24 more credits in my program. So that's about another year. I went really hard in this. I started last January, not this January, but last January. And, yeah, I will be graduating May of 2018. I still have another year, but it's going. It's going really fast.
And it does go fast. You know, Gateway runs a tri-semester calendar, so three semesters during 1 year. That really helps students be able to complete their programs and take the classes that are more convenient for them. And we're seeing it pay off because our graduation, our job placement rate went up again this year. Over 91% of our students will have a job either before they graduate or at least within 6 months of graduation, which is very strong. And 98% of our employers have said they're very satisfied with the graduates from Gateway. So we're really emphasizing the fact that not only can you have a lot of fun at Gateway, you get great education that's aligned with the industries that get you a great job.
Yeah, that is very important in this day and age, that's for sure. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I'm so glad that we had the chance to meet both of you, Kristen Daly and Pedro Nunez, both students here at Gateway Technical College. and also very heavily involved in student government here at Gateway and involved in all of the wonderful
student
activities
life.
Kid plans. Yeah, yeah. Great to meet both of you. Pedro, best wishes now as you graduate and continue
you.
Your education and as you open this restaurant named after yourself. We hope that's a great success for you. And Kristen, we hope that all of your aspirations come true as well. It was wonderful to meet both of you, and we wish you the very, very best.
Thank you very much.
Good.
And, of course, President Brian Albrecht, we appreciate so much your visiting us as well and look forward to seeing you next month.
I look forward to it as well, Greg. Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. It's 5 minutes before 9 o'clock. Time to tell you about some of the upcoming interviews that we are going to share for you on the morning show in the coming days. Tomorrow on the morning show, two different conversations. One will be with the author of a really interesting book called Hot Hands, Draft Hype, and DiMaggio's Streak, Debunking America's Favorite Sports Myths. The sports writer, Sheldon Hirsch, I believe is his name, if I'm remembering that off the top of my head correctly, examines a lot of what he believes to be misassumptions that sports fans make all the time. And just to take one that he examines in some detail, he looks at one of the most iconic of all sports records, the hitting streak of Joe DiMaggio over the course of 56 games. And while that was an impressive accomplishment, the author believes that that accomplishment is blown way out of proportion, that there is something quite artificial and ultimately rather insignificant about the fact that DiMaggio managed to secure one hit over the course of that many games. And in terms of the difference it actually made for his ball team, not so much as we might think. It's just a book that gets you thinking about sports in some very, very different ways. And you'll hear that conversation tomorrow. You'll also hear my conversation with Native American astronaut John Harrington. We mentioned a little earlier that he's going to be speaking at Gateway Technical College, at Carthage College this weekend as part of the culminating event of an event that's drawing Native American college students from all across the country for a rocket launching competition. And as a matter of fact, the rockets themselves are going to be launched at the Bong Recreation Area on Saturday between 8 and 3, and the public is invited. And John Harrington, Native American astronaut who has been in space more than 300 hours, will be speaking Saturday night. On Monday, which is Holocaust Remembrance Day, you'll hear the conversation I recorded with Estelle Laughlin. She survived the Holocaust. She and her family lived for a time in the Warsaw Ghetto, and Estelle and her mother and sister were interred at several different concentration camps. She is coming to Kenosha to speak on Tuesday at the Kenosha Civil War Museum, but you'll hear from her first on Monday. On Tuesday, among other things, we'll hear from Dr. James Kinchin talking about the upcoming performances at Parkside of the Brahms Requiem. Next week as well, we'll also be hearing from the ex-husband of singer Carly Simon. His name's James Hart, and he has written a really remarkable memoir called Lucky Jim. And you'll hear that conversation on Wednesday's program. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9.